Thank you, girls, and I hope you can listen to the words on this beautiful song that two of our young people have played for you. We welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church and welcome the audience in KKMC, and we hope that this will be a very profitable hour in the service of our Lord. Just before we begin our morning worship service, I'd like to give you a rundown of activities for this week, because it's a very serious week. On Monday, the ladies will have the Bible study, no longer on Thursday, but on Monday at 7 p.m. here at the church, becoming a woman of freedom, following God. And I hope you can make it. Then on Wednesday, we have our Bible study. Last Wednesday, we had justification. This coming Wednesday, we're going to have a great study on the work of Christ in regenerating our life. And so I hope you come. And then pray meeting, of course. Then next Sunday, we have the whole rundown program. But I want you to know that this Saturday, 13, we have the picnic, and all of you have in the bulletin a little paper over there, and the church will provide some of the things for the picnic, and I hope you pay attention to that. Also, on October the 5th, the first Sunday on October, we have the great celebration, 15 years of ministry, and Pastor Boanerges Mendoza from the city of Managua, Nicaragua, one of our missionaries, is going to come and preach. And we will love you to hear. For the audience who speaks Spanish, you will hear him speaking in Spanish, and I will translate as he speaks. So I hope that you tell your friends who are Spanish to turn on to 8:80 a.m. This hour, and you will hear Spanish and English on the same broadcast. Pastor Juanerje Mendoza has been a giant in the country of Nicaragua, stood the great attack of communism. His church, I was there in the middle of the battlefield, and his church was in the middle of two headquarters. He was placed in a freezer to die for 3 days, and he survived, and they let him out. One of the greatest men I ever know in the tiny little country of Nicaragua. So I hope you tell people about it. The church will have a great day. We're going to have a great dinner after church, and all provided by the church for you, because we are grateful that the Lord has given us 15 years of ministry. Our scripture is in Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Let's pray before we praise the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that you will bless us with thy spirit, with thy presence. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the things that we need to know about you, about ourselves, that we may receive conviction, encouragement, that we may be able to see ourselves as we are, and then to see your great hand of mercy upon our life. And as a result of that, we may leave this place with the encouragement of God and the light from above. Father, we are thankful for the young people here in the church, and we pray that each one of them may hear the word, and each one of them may treasure that word from early times in their life, so they too can praise the Lord with a true heart. We thank you, Father, for our missionaries. We thank you for those who are in Spain, for those who are in Managua, for those who are in Ukraine. Father, thank you for each one of them. They are doing a marvelous work. And thank you, Father, for our missionary in Lodi, here in California, who is teaching the Spanish people the word of the living God. And Lord, for the house of mercy that we have in town, the crisis center, we pray that you continue to bless them and direct them as they bring to light the responsibility of a mother to bring a child into life and not to kill it. Thank you, Father, for those who minister in the crisis center. We pray that you may provide for their financial responsibility as well. Father, for our nation, we pray that We who are in a blessed country have forgotten the Lord. We are away from the very basic principles in which this nation was found. And so we pray, Lord, for our president and for the vice president and for the Congress. We pray that those men who know you may stand and may be brilliant and courageous to tell people what the word of the living God said and to stand to oppose laws that oppose thee, O Father. Have mercy on us and give us men who respect thee and who love thee. Father, bless us as we continue in this service. May the peace of God and may the Spirit of the living God be with each one of us at this hour as we praise your name and learn from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Will you stand, please, and open the hymn books at number 13. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty. Number 13 in our hymn books, please.
Everlasting. I ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 146. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find the reading in that Bible on page 485. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that every day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He reviveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We do praise thee and worship the Almighty God in spirit and truth. For thou art God, the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. Thou art a merciful God. You are a loving God. Father, we pray for those who do not know you to give you the praise and honor that you so deserve. We ask that you will use thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel unto the people. If there be any here who do not know you, who are not part of the body of Christ, Almighty God, that you may shed thy grace and mercy upon them, and let that gospel enter into their hearts, so that they may also may give you the praise and worship you so deserve. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise to the King of Kings, for He alone is grand and glorious. Praise to the Lord of glorious. Praise to the God of new creation, glorify Him and praise His holy name. Praise to the King of Kings, for He.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, because that is the topic this morning, as you find in your Bible, in Psalm 146, and in verse 1. The title of my sermon is Alleluia, which is the Hebrew word, or the translation, Praise Ye the Lord. So we're going to pray and then study the scriptures together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be pleased to let us preach, not for fame or reputation, but to the end that somebody will believe, and in believing someone will be saved. For we ask in the name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may turn your Bible to Psalm 146 and verse 1. The topic this morning is about that word, the first three words of the psalm in Psalm 146 verse 1, who says, Praise ye the Lord. The word praise ye the Lord in Hebrew is only one word. Is the word that you are so familiar with, the word Alleluia, which is translated into the English language, Praise Ye the Lord. Now, I counted how many times you have that Hebrew word Alleluia in the Psalms and in any other parts of the Bible, and they come over and over 24 times in the book of Psalms. 24 times, and 4 times in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. So you have the word Alleluia in the Bible, 24 times in the book of Psalms, and 4 times in one chapter of the New Testament, the book of Revelations in chapter 19. Now in the Psalms is the Alleluia of earth, the Alleluia of Revelation, the Alleluia of heaven. It is a word which cannot be translated by any other word into any other language, and is therefore a transfer, the idea. So, praise ye the Lord is not a translation of Alleluia, is the idea of the word Alleluia. It is about the same in the Greek language, in the Latin language, in German, in French, in Italian, in Dutch, and in English. There are certain words in the Hebrew Bible that cannot be translated into any other language, except you get the idea of what those words means, and then you paraphrase it and you describe it. Now what I did, I read the 24 reference and I categorize them so that you can have them in a group, what they means when the Bible says Alleluia. And I found about 6 different categories where you can say Alleluia, praise the Lord. Here's number 1, the Alleluia of nature. If you move your Bible to Psalm 104, the first use of the word Alleluia is at the close of the Psalm 104. If you look in verse 35, the Psalms ends with the word, Praise ye the Lord. Now, this Psalm, Psalm 104, is a fine poem about nature. It begins by calling on the soul to bless God, and then ascribes to God the greatness, the honor, and the majesty, which if you study nature really suggests to us. For example, the light is God's garment. Look in verse 2. Who covers thyself with lights and with garments. The heaven is the canopy which he has spread, and the foundation of the oceans. Look in verse 3. Who layeth the beams of this chamber in the waters, who maketh the cloud his chariots, who walketh upon the winds of the wind. The thunder is his voice. He makes the springs which water birds and bees. Look at it in verse 10 to 14, the description of nature. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drinks to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which is seen among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herd for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. In other words, God, in these Psalms, made the laws which govern the sun and the moon and establish the nature. Even the darkness serves a good purpose to God. In the midst of this beautiful, beautiful picture, the Bible tells us that man goes forth to labor. Look in verse 23, what the Bible says. Man goes forth into his work and to his labor until the evening. Because God has provided a beautiful nature which man can enjoy and describes the day. The psalmist poet tuned to the ocean. In verse 24 and 25, these great and wide sea wherein are things creeping innumerable, he said, in verse 24 and 25. With the ships on the surface and the monsters playing in the depths, God gives life and substance to all of these. The psalm is a description of the greatness of the nature that we see today. The study of nature, fill the psalmist with praise to God. He has to start in this way. Praise God for this nature that we have, he says. My meditation, said the psalm, of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Look at verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Now, what's the lesson on this first hallelujah? The first hallelujah is in the context of nature. And the lesson is this. There is no conflict between the two books God has written. God wrote the book of nature, and God wrote the book of Revelation. Two books God wrote. One is nature. What we see, and the other is the written word. And if you don't believe me, just put one hand in Psalm 104 and move your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and look what the scripture says about nature. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the great lesson. Young people who go to a school, there is no conflict in believing in God and study science, because the nature that you see is the handiwork of God. In Romans 1 and in verse 20 we read, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God wrote two books so mankind will be without excuse in his presence. The nature book, that you see it from childhood, and also the written revelation of God. And so the first praise is the praise of nature. There is a second praise I want to call your attention, and it's in Psalm 105. This is the second time the word praise is mentioned, and it's mentioned also at the very end of the Psalm, verse 45. Psalm 105 and verse 45. This is the second alleluia, and I call these the alleluia of providence. The alleluia of providence. Psalm 105, which also closes with alleluia, deal with the history of Israel, and the psalmist sees the footprints of God in history as well as in nature. Not only the psalmist sees God as the creator and the manufacturer of nature, he sees also the one who controls history and determines the destinies of mankind. The Psalms 105 reads that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, he says. And here is what the psalmist says about history. It was God who covenanted with Abraham and made oath unto Isaac and confirmed the same unto Jacob. Look at in verse 9 and in verse 10, Psalm 105. With covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. The nation of Israel came to being not because some people thought in new territories and invading areas and conquering geographical territories. No, the nation of Israel came into being because was God's plan and because was God's determination and the sovereign purpose of God. You see, hallelujah, he said, God intervened in history. It's fantastic. Look at them, verse 12. It was God who protected his people when there were but few in number. Verse 12 in Psalm 105. He says, when they were but few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. They were only just 12 brothers. 12 brothers. It was God who called for a famine upon the land, when prosperity had caused them to forget his laws. Look at in verse 16, the same psalm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. Israel was blessed to the top of their ears. And because when we become blessed, we forget the Lord provoked them to have a need so that they can look up again and see the Lord. It was God who sent the darkness and turned their water into blood. It was God who spread a cloud over them for covering and gave them a fire to give light in the night. Look in verse 39 what the Bible says. He spread a cloud for a covering and the fire to give them light in the night. It was God who opened the rock and quenched their thirst. The psalmist closed this review of God's providential dealings with Israel, and the psalmist is come to an end of this, and he closed the psalmist. What is the last word? Praise ye the Lord. He intervenes in history. He's in control of history. No man in this universe can control history as God does. He raises the king and he put down the king. He moved the nations around to arrange his plan of salvation, to accomplish his goal. And the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. Now what's the lesson then? The lesson is very simple. Brother and sister, there is no kind of experience in which Christians have a right to refuse to praise God. There is no kind of experience. Even in bad times or in good times, we have to praise the Lord. You know why? The New Testament said, for all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, not all things are good. When a famine came to Israel, that was no good. But in the hands of God was good because it caused those people to look up. And sometimes our adversities, of course there are no good things happen. Of course they are tough. Of course there is nothing good to be in adversity. But the adversity moves you toward God. Then that's the goodness of God. That's where God is good. He causes all things for his purpose to be good. And more adversity we get, more we turn to him. I want to say praise God for the furnace, for the fire of God. For it is in the fire that the Son of Man delights to walk. You remember Daniel? When they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire? Who walked with them? When the man looked and said, hey, we throw three men, but there are four over there. My brother and my sister, I want to tell you this. If there are expressions of sadness in your life, if there are moments in which times are not so good, I tell you, turn to God, because in the fire of depression, in the fire of all the problems, the Son of Man walk with you. And that is absolutely an hallelujah. Number three, Psalm 106. We keep on rolling. Easy to find this reference. Psalm 106 begins and closes with hallelujah. Let me show it to you. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord. Look at the last verse, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Start the song with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah. To me, this is the hallelujah of grace. The Psalms 106 begins and closes with hallelujah. And the keynote of it is in the context. In the first verse, give it away. Look at what the first verse says. Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Not for the food. Give thanks unto the Lord. Not for the wonderful house that I have. These are little details. Look at verse 1. For he is good. His mercies endure forever. My brother and my sister, yes, we have times in which we fail the Lord. But you know something? The Lord never fails us. His mercies endureth forever. That's what I call this, the hallelujah of grace. In verse 4, in these Psalms 106, he prays, oh, visit me with thy salvation, and makes confession of sin. Look at what he says. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly, said the psalmist. Then follows a recounting of God's merciful dealings with his people in spite of their sins. Isn't that fantastic? And in spite of our sins, God had dealt mercifully with us. He remembered for them his covenants in the scripture. And repented according to the multitude. Or what? His mercies. Learn to love that word. What's the lesson in these Psalms? I'm going to be a little bit narrow, but I'm going to tell you what the lesson is. Only the saved people can say hallelujah. Maybe this is a little narrow for some people. But I want to spell it because only the saved people can say in the midst of difficulties, I praise your name, O God, and I love you with all my heart and my life. And so only the saved people can say hallelujah for his mercy more loudly and sweetly than any other person in the world. And God's mercy fills the sinner so that he can be clean before the presence of the living God. You know, mercy can rejoice in judgment because judgment has been met at mercy and was possible for the atoning grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died, God put the sins of all his people upon his life. And as God says, people, then you receive the beauty of the goodness of God to remove your sins and they go away. Where are they? They were on the cross and they are now gone away. That's what God has done. And that's what we rejoice and that's what we say, God, thank you, hallelujah, for his salvation. Independent of man, independent of what you do or said, independent of what denomination you are, if God has reached you, his mercy has reached you. And if his mercy has reached you, your sins are no longer in you. When God looked to you, he looked to Jesus and he see you. Oh, thank God for that. Hallelujah. So I have to say, this hallelujah is really saying hallelujah for the cross of Calvary. I was talking to a gentleman in the radio who, unfortunately, he had a Christ hanging on the cross. And I walk in the control room of Family Radio. I want to say the radio station that I'm talking to. I walk in the control room, and this man had this crucifix with a Christ hanging on. And irritates some of the other announcers, but, you know, we need to have some love and compassion for people. And so I walk into the door when the red light went off, and I said, brother, how are you doing? And he told me this story, his life and his wife with cancer and difficulties. And I said, can I pray for you? Say, yes. And so we pray. And then I said, where should I pray? To these Christ who are right here tied up in this cross? Or should I pray to the Christ who is sitting at the right hand of God, who controls the world and heals our soul with mercy? He said, well, this is just a picture to remind me of what Christ has done. But brother, this happened 2,000 years ago. He's on the right hand of the Father. That right? That's what Hebrews 1 says. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's no longer in that cross. He's not tied up by the sins of man. My sins have been removed. Brother, I shake him up. Wake up. Raise yourself up with Jesus. And we pray. We need to share some love when people are blind, you know? We need to share some big love and compassion for these people. They hang to a crucifix with a Christ holding. My Christ is not holding to a cross. My Christ is way up in heaven at the right hand of God. He controls nature. He controls history. And now we learn he controls grace. He graced to everybody he wants to. Hallelujah for his grace. There is another hallelujah. There is a four hallelujah, which is in Psalm, a few Psalms, Psalm 111, for example. After the hallelujah in Psalm 111 comes the word, I will praise the Lord with all my heart. Look at there. Psalm 111 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Look in Psalm 112. After the hallelujah in Psalm 112, we read, blessed is the man that feared the Lord. You see it? Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord. After hallelujah in Psalm 113, look at what the Bible said. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And as the hallelujahs increase to the end of the book, God alone is the object of praise. Look in Psalm 146, that's the text today, and in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 147, and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God. Psalm 148, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. You don't see any other reason. The words are narrow, and the words are focused on the Lord. Look in Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. There is no any request for prayer, there is no thanksgiving, it's just God only. And how the book of Psalms closes, 150 in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, said the Hebrew people. My friend, this is the hallelujah praise. And the hallelujah praise is not because God has done something for us. No, my brother. The hallelujah praise in the book of Psalms is because God is God. My brother and my sister, we know the true God. We know the God of the Bible. We know the God who created the whole heavens and the earth and controls nature and gives herbs, medicine to man. Now man, as biologists and science discover the products on the earth, but God is the source of all these products. The earth produces all the medicine you need for your body. You know that? That's true. That's what the Bible says. It is amazing. Praise ye the Lord for his providence. Well, he intervened in history. Praise ye the Lord because of his grace. Yes, he has mercy. But as your life grows up, and this is the picture that I have, as your life grows in years, and as you grow older and older, our praise to God should not be because of a new house or a new job or this. Our praise to God should be, God, I praise you because you are God. And when I don't want you, you want me. When I say no, you say yes. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. How many times we have said that privately? God, I thank you because you are God and God enough. And whatever I have is enough. We are confused in this America. We think the things are the blessing. God is the blessing, my brother. No things in our life. Praise ye the Lord. That's number four. I still have time. Number five. I'm getting excited with this. Now we're getting a little serious. All the praises in the book of Psalms are gone. I invite you to move your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Number 5, this is the praise of judgment. The praise of judgment. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Now here's a spell for you. In English, the H and J are the Hebrew. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Why? For true and righteous are what? His judgment. Hallelujah! Salvation and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are what? His judgments. For he had judged the great harlot which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And again they say, Hallelujah. Look in verse 3. Hallelujah. And her smoke rose forever and ever. Now, the Hallelujah of judgment seems to shock sentimental natures who cannot endure the thought that God could allow anyone to go to hell. There are people who said, Pastor, if God is so good, and he's so loving, and he's the source of love, how can he let people go to hell? Well, I have goodness, I have news for you. This God who is so good has a message for all people. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. So how come? Because God is God. Let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Look at what the Bible said. This is serious business. This business of praising God is serious business. This is not just getting in a choir and praise the Lord. Be sure your heart is in tune with your praise. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and everybody die. But after this, the judgment. And this is a true saying. You cannot avoid it. As certain as death is also judgment. You are accountable to God. I am accountable to God. And if in my heart there is not the presence of God, and in my life is not the work of Christ Jesus our Lord, my destiny is hell. And the Bible says, Hallelujah, that God is judged. It's justice in God. You cannot settle out of court in heaven. You know, there are some religions who teach that. Mormonism teach that. You can settle out of court. You pray for the dead, they said. That's trying to settle out of court. Like, they are Americans, and they think, you know, you go to court, and you think that you can manipulate God in the same way you manipulate the American system of justice. No, sir! God is God! We study this, and therefore, if you have no grace in your heart, your destiny is hell, period! Serious business. In the book of Revelation doesn't say that. Hiding, the book of Revelation says, Hallelujah! God is a great judge. Wow! That should scare everybody. What about 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at what the scripture said concerning this very important issue about judgment. 1 Peter 2, 9, but we are, excuse me, 2 Peter 2 in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now that's very clear. This is the loving God, yes, sir. But he is a just and marvelous God. Now, finally, I want to bring to you the number 6 Hallelujah. And this is in Revelation, in chapter 19, and verse 6. The Hallelujah of the sovereignty of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard as it were the voices of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many and mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. And look at the words used over there. Alleluia. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. You know what omnipotent means? He's the most powerful being ever, ever, ever. See, omni means one in Greek. See, potent comes from, is a translation of the Latin, from the word potentato. The book of Revelation comes from the Latin most of the time, and that's what the translator put that. But really, he is the dunamos. That's what the original said. The greatest dunamos, that no power can overcome his power. That way he is. And what the book of Revelation said, Alleluia, for the Lord God really reigneth. It's no, listen, look to the Bible. The Bible doesn't say the Lord will reign. Do you see it? Some people preach, oh, the Lord will come and he will reign for 1,000 years. What are they? Look at here. The Bible said, Alleluia, for the Lord reigneth. He is reigning today. My brother and my sister, God is reigning today. This universe is not in the hands of Satan. This universe is not in the hands of President Clinton or the Kremlin or whatever. This universe is in the hands of the living God. And he's bringing history to a climax where he's going to come and bring his church to his presence and judge the ungodly. He reigned. He is the real king. He is. Now, God seems to be dethroned sometime by people, by the things that happen. We are amazed at the things that we see in television. We are amazed at the things we read in the newspaper. We are amazed at the decay of our country, America. And I don't know about Europe and other countries, but we are amazed about the decay of morality in our country. We are amazed about the decay of education in our country. And I don't mean science. We maybe learn science, but we erase science with the elbow of immorality in our land. What good is to learn science and being immoral? The first thing I learned in my life was the Word of God from my parents. That was my first education. The first voice that I heard was the voice of my mother teaching me to read. And I don't want to read. And so she spanked me. And I learned to read. And I'm not socially depraved or, you know, depraved, you know, because my mother spanked me at 40 years old. No, I'm not disabled because my mother spanked me. Rather, I learned to obey. I learned to obey. I learned to respect elders. I live in the house with my grandma, and grandma would read the Bible 1 hour a day in a foreign language, in Arabic language. And I have to hear it. I don't want to, but I have to. Grandma was skilled. She had chocolate boiling. And boy, I like that. Never knew grandma what she was doing in my heart. She was reading in my heart that there is a great value in life. It's no science, it's this book, the Bible. Never knew that one day I would pick up her Bible and find my Savior. You see, people, Alleluia, that he reigned. God is in control because your children maybe are deviating, because maybe your husband or your wife or your friends or your brothers are away. You are not at the mercy of Satan. You are at the mercy of God. He's in control. He reigned. He has power. And we, by prayer, we can ask God in supplication, God, look our families. Lord, look our life. God, look our country. How many times we have prayed in the morning? Not against anybody, but looking for our country. God, do something about it. Knowingly that the times will come where nobody's going to believe. But we are commanded to pray for mercy. We're commanded to pray for mercy. You know, when I hear a blasphemer revile God and the Bible, I say, Alleluia. And people say, why? I tell you why. God is merciful or he will be dumb and never talk again. But then when I hear the same person who blaspheme and don't want God, now praising God, I say Alleluia for the work of redemption that he does in our heart. Are you not surprised yourself that you are saved? I'm surprised I'm saved. I'm surprised. I don't think very bad of me. Just look to yourself. What good is in us? Nothing. What can we do to be saved? Nothing. And here we are in church, broadcasting over the air to 60,000 people an hour that Jesus has power to save. And that He reigns. And that He reigns. Hallelujah. He's not going to come and reign for 1,000 years. He reigns all the time, my friends. He's God. Oh, thank God for this truth. So, Church of God, my message for you today is worship God. Hallelujah. Don't worship your work. Don't worship people. Don't worship things. Worship God. There are some people that are so entangled in their work, they worship what they can do. And the psalmist said, that is just garbage. You saw me going through the Psalms from the very beginning that word was used, and worshiping just God. I don't mean don't work. I don't mean that. But I do not mean don't make your work the idol of your life. Make God, God of your life. So, why should I worship God? Because He revealed Himself in nature. Thank you, Lord. I can show my children, when I go to my grandchildren, I try to show every plant, everything, and I said, let me teach you the resurrection. You see this little plant? All right. When winter comes, these leaves wither and go away. But in the same place, another leaf will come in. This is the power of the resurrection. Why we don't market? Of course, you know, we market the rain flows away, but you market, and in these tiny 2 years old and 3 years old, you are teaching them through nature resurrection. We must worship God because of His intervention in our dealing. That's providence. Sometimes we think, oh, why this happened to me? We don't understand it, but He does. And He brings things to us so that we pay attention to Him. We worship God because of the cross. Jesus is not in a cross, hanging over there like He cannot do anything. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, says Romans 8 and verse 34. Praise God for that. We worship God because of who He is, God. We worship God because He's sovereign, He's powerful, He can do all things. Oh, thank God for Psalm 146 in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I wonder if you can say that with true heart. I wonder if you can say, yes, Pastor, I know that God of the Bible, and I can say it with a true heart, hallelujah. If you cannot, there is a way to say it. You can go to Jesus and you can say to Him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible said when a heart goes to Jesus in that way, said, that man went home justified. So I don't want to leave you on the air. I don't want to leave you as an enemy of God. I want to give you the way to God, and the way is Jesus. Come unto me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah for His invitation. Thank you, Father, because today You have shown us in Your book, the Bible, not only the hallelujahs for the great things You have done, but also the hallelujah of justice and the hallelujah of Your power. We thank You, Lord, that in that power You draw us to Jesus, and He brought us to You. We pray for those who are not yet in the kingdom of God, that they may again, by Your mercy and grace, look upon the scripture again and see the work of Christ, so that they too can say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now, Father, as we will worship You on the Lord's Supper to follow, we pray that our hearts be united in the presence of our mighty God. In Jesus we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. I'd like to sing 485. Oh, we have a song. I'm sorry. I put the bulletin a song, but I don't see the other. Go ahead.
Made to praise you, I was made to glorify your name, in every circumstance to find the chance to thank you, I was made to made to worship at your feet and to obey you, Lord. I was made for you. I was made to praise you. I was made to glorify your to thank you. I was made to love you. I was made to worship at your feet and to obey you, Lord. I was made for you.
Thank you. And now let's have the Lord's Supper together. I want to say that if you are a member of the church or not, that's not the qualification. The qualification is if you're a believer. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you judge yourself. You have come by the convicting power of the Spirit.